And last but not least of our excellent presentations is Dr. Juana Vasiu. Did I say it right? I didn't say it right.
Yeah.
Close enough. All right, she'll correct it. I'm sorry. From the Virginia Department of Health in Richmond, she's going to speak about the impact of poverty on chlamydia, gonorrhea diagnoses among teenagers and young adults in Virginia. If you just state your name again, that would be great.
I'm Juana Vasiliu with the Virginia Department of Health. I'm one of the epidemiologists working at VDH. And it's going to be really hard to follow all these wonderful people and their excellent presentations. We're going to be looking today, we're going to be giving a very simple look at an attempt to quantify disparities in Virginia populations and rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea in adolescents and young adults. A little bit of a background, there's lack of consistent collection of socioeconomic data with our STD morbidity. I'm sure we're not the only state where that is true. And so in the past, we've had a need to assess disparities, but no data, no individual level data collected with these cases. And so we've had to rely on area-based socioeconomic measures to be able to quantify some of these differences. And our unit of analysis is going to be the census tract level. So we've looked at 6 years of data of chlamydia and gonorrhea diagnosis between 2005 and 2010 in 15 to 24-year-olds. And went through a process of exclusion, which I won't go into very much detail of here. And sufficing to say that we ended up with about 68% of cases for chlamydia and 76% of cases for gonorrhea that made it into the final analysis data set. And then we further geocoded the addresses of each case to the census tract level, and we excluded those census tracts, those addresses that did not geocode to a street segment or at least to the census tract level for to avoid introducing some bias. Then we categorize each census tract into one of four levels of poverty. And poverty, for this presentation's purposes, is defined as percent of people in the census tract living below the 150% federal poverty line. We've had, as you can see, most of Virginia's population, more than two-thirds of it actually, lives in a census tract where at least 10% or more people live in poverty. So that was striking to begin with. And then we calculated age group-specific rates and poverty level-specific rates for each of these groups. And then we also stratified our data by gender. Incidence rate ratios were calculated between and within poverty levels. And we had three race and ethnic groups. We looked at white, black, and Hispanic ethnicity. Hispanic we categorized as a separate race and ethnic group, but it's not exclusive. So, you know, somebody who marks Hispanic on the data collection form may have also marked a race, but Hispanic was used as the definition for the category. Overall, just a disclaimer, I have more slides than I'm going to be able to cover, so I'm just going to skip through a bunch of the preliminary slides. These are all basically going to show the high rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea that go up with the higher levels of poverty, especially in the African American group. And that's true for both females in both age groups and the males, the younger and the older males that we have calculated incidence rates for. The little bars on top of the rates are the 95% confidence intervals, and they're significantly different within each poverty level, so they're going to be significantly different and increasing with the poverty level as well. The incidence rate ratios, again, for chlamydia, they're showing that the higher the poverty level, the more likely somebody would be to the more likely the race and ethnic group would be to have a higher rate ratio compared to the reference level, which is the I wouldn't say the wealthiest, but the less impoverished census tract. groups. So as you can see, for most of those, especially those categories that go over 10% level of poverty, they do not include one. So the incidence rate ratio not including one means that they're significantly going to be different than our reference level. Same thing holds true for males, 15 to 19 and 20 to 24. And we've looked at these before, so I just wanted to skip through them really quickly and get to the more interesting part at the end. Gonorrhea rates are extremely high again, and increasingly high, with the highest poverty level for both males and females in both age groups. Rates for males are lower for gonorrhea. I think it's also going to be because of the fact that the gonorrhea screening among males is not as extensive in Virginia as it is. We have a very strong IPP program, and we have a lot of cases diagnosed for women. So I think a lot of male cases are currently being underdiagnosed, so that may also contribute to the lower rates in males. Again, gonorrhea incidence rate ratios in teenage women, 15 to 19 years old, show a little bit of an unexpected effect of in the highest poverty level for Hispanic females. It seems like the highest disparity for this group goes that can be attributed to poverty goes to the Hispanic females 15 to 19 who are highest impacted by poverty. Their rates are lower, but if they live in a poor area, they're going to be even more so affected than other age and ethnic groups. The same incidence rate ratio is calculated for gonorrhea for females 20 to 24. They're significantly different in the poorest strata. Males 15 to 19, again, significant differences in the poorest census tracts versus the less impoverished. And same goes true for the males 20 to 24. What I wanted to show you is that, in my opinion, poverty does not explain everything. So while there are differences within the same race and ethnic group, and that shows that incidence rates go up with the poverty level, there are also differences within the same poverty level. So the way we define poverty level may not be sufficient, because poverty may mean various things for various people, and this 150% of the federal poverty line may include together a variety of different people living in totally different ecologic conditions. So I think that's partly why we see these disparities, racial disparities within the same poverty level for women, up to between 5 to 7 times higher rates among black women versus white. Again, among males, you see even higher disparities, especially among the teenagers for chlamydia. For gonorrhea, the disparities are even higher. Among females, 12 to 15 times higher, and 12 to 16 times higher in the 20 to 24 years old. And the highest disparities are going to be in males diagnosed with gonorrhea, staggering 42 times higher rate of gonorrhea among black men diagnosed within 15 to 19 years of age versus their white counterparts living allegedly within the same poverty level, although I don't think that's true. And so I looked a little bit into whether or not population density may have something to do with this. The rural-urban categorization you see here is really related to a very rudimentary measure at the census tract level. The allegedly rural census tracts were less than 500 people per square mile, and then the urban, or the more dense, if you will, census tract groups were above that limit. And one interesting thing that showed up that holds true for every slide that I'm going to show, for every category, is that in rural areas, in the wealthiest or less impoverished rural areas, we have higher rates of disease versus urban areas. That switches over 10% of poverty. So at the 10% limit of people living below the 150% of the poverty line, that report is definitely in favor, if you will, for incidence rates among urban populations, and it goes really high among very poor urban areas where population density is high and the number of cases is very, very high as well. Same picture for females, 20 to 24 for chlamydia. Males for chlamydia, 15 to 19, not as high rates compared to females, but show the same kind of effect right here. See, okay, I'm going to be trying to stick within 1 minute. The rural rates are higher, and then the urban rates go higher than their rural counterparts in the poorest strata. Males 20 to 24, very, very high rates in urban areas that are poor. Same is true for gonorrhea for both female groups, age groups, and again for gonorrhea for males 15 to 19 and 20 to 24 in urban areas, staggeringly high rates of disease. And so, I'm sorry if I rushed through this a little bit. I'm very nervous. I'm sure you couldn't tell. But I think that if you look at poverty the way we have used it in the past, yes, it is associated and explains partly what is going on in terms of these incidence rates as we're able to calculate them. But it's not enough. It's not the same definition of poverty for everybody, I feel. I feel that we need to look more into the bigger picture, or the smaller picture, if you will, and discover what characterizes these communities and how different they are, whether it's urban versus rural, or even more going down to sexual networks and even your probability of finding an infecting partner having the same risk behaviors as somebody in a different community. So I guess that's the main take-home message for me from this. So if you have any questions, I think we have maybe 4 minutes.
See, she was just more compliant when I said 1 minute. we have one question coming up. I'm going to ask one while you're coming up. So I know about 15 years ago, Dr. Debbie Cohen and a group of us in New Orleans looked at broken windows. And so what kind of hit home, she looked at not just poverty, but beyond poverty. It's like the disarray, the chaos, the social decay. And that's one thing that's really hard to measure. Yeah. It's very expensive and difficult to measure. And so, I kind of agree with you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lizzie Cherney from CDC in Atlanta. Thank you for that presentation. Since chlamydial infections are often asymptomatic, our case rates are highly influenced by screening coverage. So often the more you look for it, the more you find it. So sometimes a high case rate might just mean we're doing a lot of screening. And I wonder if you have any data in Virginia on screening coverage, and in particular any differences in screening coverage in urban and rural areas or by race ethnicities.
That is a very good question. We actually have looked at that a few years back, and I don't think we looked at it by rural versus urban, but we tried to highlight areas in the state that had a lower percent of screening. Screening is, of course, to us is, we only have screening data for the tests that we pay for. So. And we did find some undercovered areas, and I think that they were more towards the southwest, toward the more rural areas of the state, but I haven't looked at it in that much detail. I know that we're not definitely screening everybody, and I know that we need to be doing a better job of targeting screening and the limited resources that we have available towards communities where there's greater need. Anecdotally, I know that from just having friends living in Richmond, I know that there's a desert of healthcare providers in some neighborhoods. They don't even have primary care providers, let alone, screening program for STDs. And the health departments are most of the time overwhelmed with the amount of patients that they're trying to see. So, yes, I think that's definitely a valid point.
Thanks. Okay, great. Are there any last questions for any of the presenters? We got one. Got a couple of minutes.
For the earlier discussion on venues, I was wondering, and sorry, I missed your
Dr.
name.
Dr. Jennings? Yeah,
I was wondering, do you have any hypotheses around why certain networks or sexual groups or whatever, why these venues would differ? What characteristics would you be looking for in your next analyses?
Yeah, good question. Thank you. So can you? So great question, and what I didn't have a chance, you know, I could have gone on for a little while, but what I didn't have a chance to talk about was sort of a larger conceptual framework as to why I, what features of venues I think might be important. And in part, the reason we were looking at drug markets and sex markets is based on the hypothesis that in those areas, due to the underlying economies, if you will, that there's likely to have there's likely networks that are more dense and interconnected than maybe other venues that don't have those kinds of economies. So that's partly the hypothesis driving why we ask about those specific indicators at the and why we looked at those at the venue level. And we have other work, actually. So there's some other work, and if you look, there's a paper coming out in Social Science and Medicine that is looking at the relationship between drug markets at the neighborhood level and individual level risks for STIs and showing a significant association between those two. So it's part of a larger body of work.
I guess really quickly, aside from drugs,
yeah,
are there and drugs and sex, are there other issues around these venues that you think would
yeah,
also
so
be
I certainly think if you look at some of the other neighborhood-level factors that we've seen in the talks today, that likely some of those will set up the context upon which then it's more likely that there would be a drug market, if you will. So where there's an area where there's less informal social control, for example, that there might be more likely to be a drug market, and then what are, you know, they're likely, these are highly impoverished areas, they may be more areas that have a specific built environmental features that allow for those kinds of networks to occur. So lots of hypotheses about those. Measuring them, as we've seen, is another challenge. Thank you for your question.
So I will want to give you enough time to move to the next session, but I want to thank all of the speakers for their really great talks. I think now, I hope the challenge is to now go and think about more than just sex. And then we can maybe work on these epidemics. Thank you.
Thank you.